governors at the time, Governor J. Howard Edmondson was the first governor you served under. Mm-hmm. A little bit about him.
J. Howard, I met him in 1958. I was speaking for W.P. Bill Axon, and he came to Bryan County. He had a cousin here and had a pretty good-sized family, and they all came with him, and they came to Kemp, Oklahoma. I had to speak before him. So I spoke for W.P. Bill Axon, and I come down, and he spoke, and I thought, my gosh, why ain't I for him? You know, this is dynamite. I got acquainted with him, and then his first 2 years in office, Charlie Craig and I, representing the League of Young Democrats, got to go to the governor's office to visit with him. I never will forget Charlie Craig told him, he was state president of the Young Democrats, and he said, you know, I'll win by a big margin because my dad runs the Farm Credit Service. He approves loans for everybody out there. He does this, he does that, I'll win. John comes from a poor family, and he probably will have to run once or twice before he gets elected. We started out the door. Howard Edmondson put his hand on my shoulder. He says, I'll bet on you. And I won, Charlie Gost.
That's great. You were a public speaker. Did that come naturally from that very beginning?
It come from wanting to so bad. Back in 1946 when Carl Albert ran, Bill Steger ran, Bela Serbi ran, all these candidates would come through these little towns, put up their speakers, play music, get a crowd, make a speech. They'd give me a quarter to hand out cards for them. Everybody gave me a dime to a quarter. Bill Steger gave me a dollar every time. And Bill Steger gave me a dollar the rest of his life. He was a guy from Harvard, finished law school at Harvard, sharpest dresser in the world, nicest guy in the world. He practiced law here in Durant. And every time we'd come from Boswell to Durant to buy clothes or anything, I'd always go by his office because I knew I'd get a dollar. And after I moved here and I announced for the legislature, he said, you know, you're announcing against my best friend. And I said, but your best friend didn't work as hard for you as I did. He said, you're right. And Bill got disbarred for some, and I helped him get his license back. He moved to the Skirvin Hotel in Oklahoma City and run up the darndest bill up there. And the guy that owned it, I knew through Bill Dane. And he said, you think he'll pay me? I said, yeah, if he gets money, he'll pay you. I said, it might take him some time, but I don't know if anybody ever beat out any money. And he paid him. He finally got into a big case at Blackville, Oklahoma, but he went under a shade tree and signing up all those workers. And he made money and lived the rest of his life. And after he died, his son, who hung around the Capitol an awful lot and an awful good kid, he inherited all of his mama's stuff, his aunt's stuff, his daddy's stuff in West Texas, and got apparently a hold of a lot of money.
Henry Bellman was the governor from 63 to 67, and you served under him as well. But as you were in the legislature, you were a seatmate with Henry Bellman. Is that true?
No, Henry Bellman and I got to be friends. I was vice chairman of appropriations, and I'm an early riser. So I'd go out to Capitol a lot early in the morning and eat breakfast with Governor Bellman. He told me something one time. He took a piece of paper, and he turned it over like this, and he said, John, there's 20% over here, and there's 20% here, and there's 60% of us in the middle. There's some over here that are so conservative, they don't want government to do nothing. There's some over here that wants government to do it all. He said there's a happy medium in the middle, 60% of us. He lived that life, 60% in the middle. He didn't want to butter up for the ultra-conservative or the ultra-liberal to either one. He became a very, very close friend of mine.
Didn't you convince him to appoint Justice Ralph Hodges
yes.
to the state Supreme Court?
That's correct.
And Ralph Hodges was pretty young at that time.
What is 34?
Yeah, that's young for a justice. So tell us why you asked that, and did it take a lot of convincing of Bellman?
Ralph Hodges was a good friend of mine. I first met with Dale Cook. Dale Cook was Henry Bellman's lawyer, and visited with him, and he knew Ralph by reputation and was very impressed. Then I talked to Governor Bellman, and they set up a meeting over at the governor's mansion. Ralph left there and called me and said, meet me in your room at the hotel. And I said, Ralph, I've got a session. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, how did you get in my room? And he said, I conned him out of a key. I lived with Senator Baldwin, who was from Anadarko, his hometown. And I said, thank God Senator Baldwin's out here. But anyway, I went down there, and Ralph said, John, our meeting didn't go good. And I said, what happened? He said, nothing happened. That's why it didn't go good. So I said, Ralph, you're expecting probably him to ask you questions that he probably don't know to ask you. And I said, he's a farmer and a good man and a good governor. But I said, he might not know the right questions. And I said, Ralph, I'm not sure I know the right questions to determine whether you'll be a good judge. I know your heart. And I got him settled down. And the next day I went to Dale Cook and talked to Dale. And he said, everything will be all right, John. It didn't go good. But I said, won't you write down some questions that he needs to ask these other applicants? He said, I will. Dale Cook, you know, became a federal judge there in Tulsa. And good man.
But Governor Bellman had to go largely on your recommendation.
Yeah, and I think Dale Cook backed it up. But Ralph was one of the best judges in the history of Oklahoma. He never got tied to any organization, anything besides doing the right thing.
Another governor then, you've already talked about him, was Dewey Bartlett. He was governor of 67 to 71.
Dewey and I run around together. We was friends. Dewey was more of a elitist. I don't think he ever understood the people that I had to represent. But, you know, he come from an elitist background and so forth and so on. You know, you got to be raised with them to know them. I think Dewey meant well. He got Bob Lawler in his office as his legislative assistant. Bob Lawler was one of the smartest people I ever served with. Very conservative Democrat from Miami, Oklahoma. I was down there one day and they were going to fire Bill Dane. And I said, Bill Dane hadn't done anything.
What was he doing, Bill Dane?
Bill Dane was highway director. That's Donald Lou's husband. Donald Lou was married to him, and they got two kids. And I said, Bill Dane's not a dishonest man. He's a brilliant man, but he's too damn lazy to do anything wrong. I mean, he had all 204 hours from Yale University. He's a smart, smart guy. They broke a story on Bill Dane's brother-in-law buying land up around new interchanges and so forth. So anyway, they said they're going to fire him, and so they did. And so I introduced a resolution for the Senate to select committees to investigate him. And they cleared him of any wrongdoing. It was a reward to him. And then he moved to Durant and brought his two kids down here. They lived here until right before he died. He moved them back to the city.
David Hall defeated Dewey Bartlett to become governor, and he was...
I did not serve under him.
Under Hall?
No, I met David Hall. About 60 businessmen got together and visited with him. They asked him to appoint a state region from here, and he said, I'll appoint John Massey if he'll introduce me tonight. And I introduced him. When the time came, he didn't do it. And, you know, I don't dislike David Hall. I talked to him on the telephone. He talked to me about his book and all this stuff, but you know, I told him, I said, you're not telling the whole story now. There's more to this story than what you're telling. He sent me a transcript of what he said, and I said, tell the whole story and tell it honestly and rightly, because hell, they got it on tape. I said, you got to be totally honest if you're going to write a book, because some kid might read this book, you know. And I hadn't talked to him since. I didn't return any more of his calls because he's wanting me to buy books for libraries. If it's a good book, I'd buy it for schools, because I think that you could set an example for a lot of young kids. You can give some of them an idea of how I want to be like that. I want to accomplish something.
So David Hall's book is not telling the whole story.
I haven't read it. The transcript he sent me, the whole story was not told.
Okay, we don't have time to get into that whole thing now, but did you ever work in campaigns for Senator Robert Kerr?
Yes.
Let's talk about
him. I was really involved in, I guess, his last race and organizing youth and doing work like that. I've got a picture of me and my arm around him. Ann Morgan got a copy of it, and she used to work for the Kerr Foundation. She was a book writer and very good at it. She says, what are you doing with your arm around him? I said, well, he's my buddy. She said, you're the only person I've ever seen put their arm around him. And I said, well, you should have tried it. But he's an awful good man.
What was his ambiance when he walked into a room? Was he attention-getting, or what was he like?
He walked in the room, and a crowd melted. You know, the last speech he made in this county was at Bochita, 12 miles down the road. I was told by Lou Hewitt and Rector Swearingen that my job was to make sure Bob Peterson was there. He was editor of the Durant Democrat. Ralph Hodges, who was district judge, and I was a senator then, and Bob Peterson and a group of our gang went down there. They saw me, and Ralph said, we want y'all to sit right over here. It was to the right of the podium. And Bob Kerr got up and talked about asphalt roads. He said, if you like it, tell Bob Peterson, because he don't like you to have, he wants them made out of cement. He said, tell him what they mean to you. If you don't like it, tell me, I'll do something about it. And he blistered Bob, the worst I have ever seen in my life, and Bob never got over it. Bob never got over it. But Senator Kerr, he had that crowd in the palm of his hand. I mean, he was good. He was good. A lot of people tried to be awful close to him. You know, after you get elected, you make a lot of new friends. But those old friends is who he always paid attention to. It's Lou Hewitt, a Republican here, who worked for some big agency in Tulsa, the federal government. And then when the administration changed, he had to change, and Senator Kerr made him postmaster here.
Would you say that as we look back in time, the delegation that we would send to Washington, Senator Kerr and Carl Albert, would be the two best powerful people we've ever sent?
That is correct. I think that Senator Mulroney is due to a lot of the air stuff here in Oklahoma. He's the one that brought all that here. He was a very good senator, but he was so overshadowed by Senator Kerr. But Senator Kerr and he were very good friends.
Yeah, Mike Mulroney, they were senators at the same time.
That's right.
And then Kerr overshadowed him.
Right. And then, see, you had Edmondson, who was a good congressman. You had Snead, that was a good congressman. You had Jarman. And then they had a Republican in Tulsa that they accepted just like their family. People back in those days got along. This nation has been torn over politics, and we've got somehow to bring it together because we're Americans first and we're Democrats and Republicans second. Somehow we got to get people speaking in a spirit of love. You know, I told the congressman from Edmond, I've known him through Falls Creek. He called me and said, John has had a wedding in your mother's chapel. He's a minister. And I just had a wedding over there. And I just thought of you, and I thought I'd call and talk to you. And I sent him some money. I had my wife, too, when he announced. Nobody gave him a chance, except I knew he'd win, because I know how Baptists organize, and he's an organizer. He won that race big time up there. So anyway, I said, I'll tell you something. I hope that you don't learn to hate while you're in Washington. I said, if you do, resign. Resign that day. If you get hatred towards a Democrat because he disagrees with your philosophy, resign, because your belief is more important than your office. And you know, he went back and told his staff that. And I'm in a deal with the Choctaw chief when I flew up to Oklahoma City with him, went back with him. This kid came by and he says, I want to get acquainted with you. I said, tell me why. He said, you gave my boss the best advice in the world. Have you learned to hate and resign? He said, he told us that, and he wanted us to live that way too.
Great. And here we are, for the sake of history and for those who will listen to this years from now, in 2013, we have that great divide. And I don't know if hate is the word, but they certainly dislike each other, Republicans and Democrats. And they are at an impasse over most everything.
They are, and they're going to stay that way. And I hate it. You know, I think that Tom Cole is a good congressman. I think that several of them are very good. The boy from Edmond is extremely good. He's a leader. And Tom Cole is as good a man as I know. And you know, Tom Cole calls me all the time. Of course, I've always been helpful to him and knew his mother, and she is a senator.
Tom Cole, we point out, is a Republican, and here he's calling you a Democrat.
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll talk as long as I can talk, and I'm a pretty good talker, you know. All you got to do is say one word, and I'll go.